Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes see details.
Holiday magic is in the air, and DSW's got all the shoes to make your season extra merry. Believe, you've got parties to attend and lists to check twice, so DSW is taking care of the details, like gifts to make their eyes all aglow. Styles that bring joy to your world. Brands everyone wants, like UGG, Nike, Birkenstock, and more. And deals to make your budget bright. Find the perfect shoes for you and yours at a DSW store near you or DSW.com.
Bombas presents unsolicited gifting advice. Number one, if they say not to get them anything, get them something. Two, underwear is a great gift, just not for your boss. And three, those absurdly soft Bombas socks and slippers you've been eyeing for yourself, they'll love those. And the fact that for every item you purchase, another is donated to someone who needs it, they'll love that even more.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
And welcome, everybody, to this week's exciting episode.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. That's as long as I can go.
Well, that was pretty good.
He does it longer in the song, doesn't he?
Probably does, yeah. But he also has the background music going and... Yeah. Well done.
I bet there's
all
some
in
people,
one breath.
Yeah. Yeah. Since giving up smoking, like you, I feel like I have got more room and stuff in my lungs. I feel like Pavarotti some days.
Yeah. You look like him some days.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, yeah. Fat with a beard. Yeah, yeah. that's thrown me for a loop. I don't know what I was going to say there. I've actually lost a little bit of weight and then gained it again. Thank you.
well, you know, it's the, yeah. It's the those ice creams in the summer and all that, I suppose. Mm.
Well, I think that there's definitely someone out there that thinks that their phone has glitched with me doing that intro.
Just probably.
But no, here we are.
Is that what you're hoping people would start like skipping on to see how long it had? Take you to.
Oh, that's a good way of finding out how long that was. Maybe 6 seconds, 7 seconds?
I think it was a bit longer than that.
Oh, I'm
probably
happy
about 15.
Oh, that's quite good.
So the skip button would probably go way past the end of that and then halfway through this conversation.
Yeah, yeah, true. I actually held my breath in the shower the other day.
That wasn't just so you could do an experiment how long you could say, I know for.
No, I was just like trying to do breathing techniques and stuff. Do you remember we mentioned like Wim Hof before?
Oh, yeah.
And stuff like that. So I was trying some techniques and I actually held my breath for like, I think it was 1 minute and 27 seconds.
Wow.
Which is pretty good for someone who used to smoke and shit. Mm. Oh, no. We're
with
gonna
water
have to censor that.
Why?
I said the S word.
Oh. Yeah. Well, with water pouring on over you.
Yeah.
As well. Holding your breath. Yeah. That can't be easy.
Yeah.
That's very impressive. Well done.
Thanks, mate. Well, I'm excited today. Can you
tell? You seem quite excited.
I'm very excited. Me and you have had a very busy 2 weeks.
It's been a horrendous 2 weeks for me.
It's been pretty bad, hasn't it? So
started off coming back from holiday with the boss moaning at me via text message. Then I found out I got COVID.
Yeah.
Then we literally got rained on for about 6 days solid.
Yeah.
In the meantime, I was having to wash equipment in the rain with a pressure washer. How fun that was, I can tell you. Yeah.
Did you get out your cagoule for the rain?
I don't own one anymore, but my waterproofs were actually wetter on the inside than they were on the outside by the end of it.
That sounds about
and
right.
You were moving house
yeah.
the whole time.
Yeah, yeah. Moving house in the rain, obviously it was probably more enjoyable than being at work for you, but yeah, it still wasn't great because I had to clean the whole house afterwards with the amount of mud and things bringing it in and carrying stuff and
cardboard boxes turning into confetti as you were walking it into the house.
Yeah, three casualties of boxes.
Yeah,
three of them just didn't make it. Soaked through. So yeah.
Oh, my pots and pans are falling out.
Hey, what, pots and pans?
Yeah. So what are we doing today then, John?
Yeah, well, that's a long off intro.
It was.
Today, I've gone for something fun, something unique.
Unique.
We've gone for fake martial arts.
Fake ones.
Yeah, fake martial
like
arts.
Like origami.
Origami is paper. That's not martial
what's
arts.
What's a fake martial art then?
Well, we're going to get into it. This is the thing.
We're not talking like Shaolin, like mainstream martial arts, Wing Chun, karate, you know, stuff like that. We're talking the guys who go, oh, you cannot hit me because of the immense power of my chi.
Yes.
I will deflect you even though you cannot touch me.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, yeah. Not for the Asian accent.
That is pretty much what we're talking about.
Right.
Yeah, it's...
I think I've seen a few videos on YouTube, people demoing their immense capabilities in martial arts by just literally ducking out of the way and people going, oh,
trying
to hit him, but I just can't.
That is exactly, is the example. That's exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's hilarious to watch.
It is, I've also seen a few people get beaten up.
We'll get into that. Yeah, I've got two great examples of people getting beaten up.
Yeah.
Possibly three examples. I'm going to credit a guy called Super Eye Patch Wolf. His YouTube channel.
Okay.
For the information and stuff I got today, because that's how it started. I was sent this video. And
was that the guy that went around challenging all these masters?
That guy does come up in the in the thing. Yeah. So it started with Moistly J, a good old Patreon guy, friend of the podcast.
Yeah.
He sent me this video. We started just talking about China and martial arts and things like that. And I hadn't done my research that week. So I thought, why not just do this?
Already halfway down the rabbit hole. Might as well carry on.
Yeah, so I will credit Super Eye Patch Wolf.
He took the blue pill.
Yeah. I was going to do Project Bluebeam, but that's coming up.
Oh.
So, let's start off with good old Josh Fashion of a bit of history for you.
History.
So,
here we go. Where did martial arts start then?
Well, it started in ancient times. But we're going to bring it up to speed a little bit because
You're just missing out about 2,000 or 3,000 years of
that. Yeah, we haven't got time for that. No. So, fake martial arts is like a modern thing.
People only faked it in the last couple of 100 years, haven't they?
Yeah. So do you remember there was a big craze in the early 70s of like...
I remember it well, yeah. 10 years before I was born.
Well, you know that martial arts, like I've mentioned before, like Bruce Lee is an idol of mine. He is amazing. That kind of film where it was over the top. People would have seen like Ong Bak. Jet Li. Jet Li. That kind of style of over-the-top martial arts. In a way, Karate Kid fits into that. It's not over-the-top action, but Karate Kid does have some of those themes of...
It's been said before that Karate Kid makes more sense if you think of Danny LaRusso as the bad guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I agree.
I actually agree.
When you re-watch that film with that in mind, you're like... Yeah, no, Karate Kid was kind of a douche there.
Yeah, he is.
So we're going to go back to the kung fu craze of the early 70s with Bruce Lee, starting in like Hong Kong.
Right.
But that's when it really took off, all the getting to, like the fake martial arts.
It was when it hit Western culture. That's when it's kind of become known as kung fu, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because in Chinese, it's wuxi or whatever. And
yeah.
The early 90s, like you say, 60s, 70s films is where it massively boomed all across the Western culture, didn't it?
It really did.
Went to kung fu.
It really did take over the Western side of the world. But it even kind of started before then. So that's when it got popular in the 70s. Oh, right. But it wasn't actually introduced into America until late World War II. So American soldiers that were deployed into Japan, they would actually learn karate and judo, actual techniques, not fake martial arts, like real martial arts. And then they would incorporate that into their basic training, working with the Japanese. And then these American soldiers would then come back and start opening their own dojos and trying to teach other Americans martial arts, which is why you've got like the Karate Kid kind of movie plot, and like well, Mr. Miyagi wasn't American, but
no, but Cobra Kai.
Cobra Kai, that's what I'm thinking of. So all of these dojos in America opened up because it started in World War II, or late World War II, which I thought was a good tidbit of information there. So all these quite cool.
Soldiers went over there, did a couple of months training with the in the proper Asian dojos, and then came back, declared themselves masters. And went, you can learn under me.
Yeah, pretty much. A bit dodgy. Yeah, there is something a bit like hustling about it in a way.
A little bit.
Also, little fun fact here, talking about hustling and martial arts. I don't think they're all like this.
Kung Fu Hustle.
Kung Fu Hustle. This was a load of Hong Kong phooey, I tell you. I studied Taekwondo for a period of years.
Yeah.
And that was all about remembering sequences and things like that. I got all the way up to red belt two stripe, of like the black stripe. So I was one grade away from my black belt.
I was going to say different martial arts have different colors in different orders, don't they?
But Taekwondo wise, I was one grade away from my black belt.
Right.
And I don't know if it was the teacher or the sensei, but I will not call his name out. But when it came to the test and to book the test to do my black belt, he wanted over £1,000 for
what?
It. And at the time of, we're talking what, like early 2000s kind of thing? My parents couldn't afford that. So I just got all the way to red belt to black stripe and then was like, that's as close as I'll get to a black belt.
Yeah, most it should be, what, 50 quid?
Yeah, you'd think so.
Yeah.
All the other belts were.
Yeah. But
no. So yeah, it is a little bit of
absolute rip-off.
Yeah. So, there...
It's Taekwondo, the kicky one. You do a lot of kicks.
The kicky one? They're all kicky ones.
Yeah, but I'm sure Taekwondo is the one that's famed for its like real powerful kicks.
It's... I just remember doing
that's why you always threaten to spin kick people, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. No one's ever seen the spin kick.
No, I've
never seen
you've not
heard of anyone because they're non-existent.
Oh, Kapow. Right. They've just been knocked out of existence.
Yeah, like Thanos stuff.
Oh, fair
play. Just into dust, just gone.
So well, I hope I never get to experience the bad end of this spin kick.
No, you probably never will.
I've been threatened with it enough times.
Yeah, but, oh, no, it's a rare opportunity. It's only people that really deserve it, you know. Okay. So if I ever see, like, Trump or Putin or something. Pow! You know.
Spin kick.
Yeah.
End of reality.
Yeah, that's the one.
Right.
So
that is a fake martial art.
Yeah. Or is it?
Might not be.
Yeah.
Right.
So the British and Japanese armies were attacking, invading, and colonizing China. And China became a weak and divided nation.
Never!
Yeah, to the point where they were actually nicknamed the Sick Men of Asia.
Ooh.
So that is why it leads into the Fist of Fury movie by Bruce Lee.
Yeah, yeah.
He enters the dojo and declares, "We are not sick men," before he kicks butt and like kicks all these people in this dojo and kicks all these Japanese people around and stuff. And that's just a callback to back in the day.
Some mild racism that we don't even remember.
Dude, there was so much racism between people. Don't realize that there's actually a lot of, well, back in the day anyway, there was a lot of racism between different Asian countries. South Korea, South Korea, China, Japan, North Korea. They didn't like each other.
No.
There was actually, at one point, there were signs that said no dogs and no Chinese allowed in like certain like Japanese areas.
Really?
Yeah, it was really bad, which is another point where in one of the films, Bruce Lee kicks a sign, or he does like a flying kick and kicks the sign off the wall that says no dogs and no Chinese allowed. It's really bad back in the day.
I know it was. They really did not like being mistaken for one another.
Mm. Yeah, understandably.
Which is understandable.
I don't think some people realise how bad that is. Like, we're not going to touch
that. We're not going to go into that.
So this is where these kind of kung fu films and things originated, was to make the Chinese rise up and Hong Kong and kind of rise up and say, no, we're not weak people. We can do this kind of thing. We are fighters. So then these films were starting to get made. Obviously, a lot of it is exaggerated. You know, people can't fly 10 feet up in the air and do a kick.
Or fly from building to building, Crash and Dragon style.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the masters can.
Yes, no, they can. So I'm going to start with someone who kind of kicked it off, who wasn't Asian. He was
Chuck Norris.
No, no. Chuck Norris was in a Bruce Lee film, and it was really good. He had big old sideburns in it. I'm going to take you to a guy called the Crown Prince of Death.
Ooh.
And his name...
He sounds like he's got a spin kick on him.
No, he's one of the fake ones.
Oh.
Count Dante was his official sensei kind of name. Count Dante.
I feel like I've heard that name, but I don't know where.
Real name, John Keehan, or Keehan.
Hmm.
He was actually... This is how old this goes back. The old Marvel comics... He had advertisements in old Marvel comics.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in like 70s and 80s and things.
You could buy like all your superheroes.
Yeah. What?
You could fight like all your superheroes.
Oh, my God. I thought you said something else. No, I'm not even going to say what I thought you said. That really threw me off. I'll tell you after. So he had the advertisements in these old Marvel comics, and he was a master of the Dim Mac, which is the Poison Hand fighting style. It was called Poison Hand. This was considered cruel, evil, and savage, using pressure points, nerve centers, major blood vessels, and vital organs of the body. He self-described it as human horror weapons,
right.
Claiming to take down enemies with a single touch.
Pressure points are a thing.
They are a thing. They are a thing. But this guy was something else.
I think it's either considered very clever fighting or very dirty fighting, depending on what martial art you're studying.
I've got a fact for you later that's going to blow your mind. But I'll just say it now. If I come across it, I'll just won't mention it. There's never been a recorded victory in a fight, battle, anything of anyone using a pressure point.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so I'm just going to throw it out there. I think it's just for the movies and TV shows.
Oh.
I mean, obviously, pressure points do exist. You can get it. But no one's ever won a fight by using those kind of pressure points. Even though they teach you in some martial arts. It's,
like Kung Fu Panda, where he's like holding him and he just like raises his pinky. And no, stop.
yeah. I like the swan crane. When you grab the elbow and then the top of the hand and press the two together and you literally can control people because you're like, get off me. So this guy, Count Dante... He did actually have a history of karate.
Right.
He just embellished and, you know, made it more fake than it was.
Fair enough.
He owned two dojos in Chicago And he had a pet lion.
Oh,
because nothing says I'm really tough than having a big lion. He actually turned up to Muhammad Ali's house, challenging him to fights quite regularly.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
This is just to show you how nuts this guy is. He would also give his friends pistols and throw around the idea of trying to catch bullets.
With his teeth or...
No, just trying to catch bullets and stuff.
Again, not a good idea.
And when challenged, he would also threaten to blow up other dojos with dynamite.
Well, that one doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, yeah. So he was a bit of a character. Count Dante died in 1975, and he left behind a bizarre legacy that people still talk about today.
What was that?
How fake he was. He was one of the original people that started this whole craze of taking these films as inspiration and thinking this is real life and it's all delusion, basically.
Yeah, the cinematography gone wild.
Yeah, so I'm just going to mention a couple of other people that took this craze and just made it just unbelievably terrible and fake and laughable. So Frank Dukes.
Oh, Bloodsport.
Yes, yes, that's literally all got written down. The whole film Bloodsport was based on this guy.
Mm-hmm.
He turned out to be a hoax.
Complete fake, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Did not win the Kumite at all.
Yep.
he just went to America and claimed he did.
Yes, yeah, 100%. So Jean-Claude Van Damme was actually probably more qualified than that guy.
Probably, yeah.
At least he
could do the splits.
Yeah, I love Jean-Claude Van Damme. Do you know on YouTube there's several videos of him dancing that just go on for hours and hours and they have millions of views?
Really?
Yeah, it was like a meme a few years back, and the song is like, I'm Jean-Claude and I'll dance for you, or something along those lines, and it's just him doing a jig from a movie and it's just on repeat. And
I was gonna say, he didn't actually dance for hours and hours and hours.
No.
They just recorded it for 2 minutes and looped it.
And it's a bit like Rick Astley, with Never Gonna Give You Up.
Yeah,
and people
used
to troll people with it all the time. Yeah, but there's 10-hour loops on YouTube of Jean-Claude Van Damme just dancing and things. But
wow.
Yeah. I have seen when he does the splits between the two chairs.
Yeah.
That's real, though, isn't it?
Sometimes.
Oh,
yeah, he can genuinely do the splits. He could probably do them, or at one point in his life, probably could do them elevated like that.
Mm.
But I think... For instance, in the, is it Coors Light?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where he's doing it between two trains or something. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that's real.
Oh, what? I also want to know if Jean-Claude Van Damme is related to Rob Van Damme, the wrestler.
Probably not, because Jean-Claude Van Damme's real name is Van Varen, if I remember right.
Ah, the wrestling fans will let us know.
Yeah.
So have you heard of another fake martial artist called No Touch Master George Dillman? Have you heard of George Dillman?
I think so. Is this the guy that is like, oh, you're going to touch me because of the power of my G?
Nope. He is American as well. There's a theme here with all of these fake martial artists.
They're all American.
Yeah, they're not Asian at all. Also, George Dillman was a giveaway. I don't know if Dillman's a variation.
I don't know.
But this guy was a bit of a Dillman. He was a master of no touch, pressure points, and claims to be able to control and use invisible energy and could knock people out with the lightest touch, yada, yada, yada. Well, lucky for you, Pirate, I have a lovely little story.
Is he one of them guys that can knock people out by screaming at them? Have you got that one down? No.
I don't know.
I think that's too fake for...
That's too ridiculous for this podcast, my friend. But I've got a little short story here. So National Geographic... They were very skeptical.
They sent
two journalists to have a look at what this guy was claiming, and they were watching all these students fly all over the place, like people have seen in the videos. They're tumbling backwards.
This
guy is waving his hand, and like six people at one point, this is the most ridiculous part of the video, at one point he has stood there with his hand out, dead still, not moving. And for whatever reason, there's like 12 guys just running and then diving out of the way of this hand. Like there's some sort of force field around his hand. It is the most ludicrous thing. So this guy was like, no, it's not real. I'm a skeptic. And he's like, no, this will work on you. It didn't. So this guy, I didn't write down his name. Handsome chap stood there And this guy is trying all these techniques, no touch and everything, and he's just stood there with a smile on his face, like, you've been caught. This is a whole hoax. Yeah. So they wrote about that in the National Geographic. Now, the weird thing about this, afterwards, obviously, it's for National Geographic. There's an interview there. They're speaking to George Dillman. Do you want to hear a couple of the excuses for why it didn't work on the National Geographic, but it works on all of his students?
Go on then.
One of them was he thinks his tongue was in the wrong position when he tried the exercises. Apparently, I don't know if you know this, Pirate, but apparently when it comes to martial arts and using no-touch techniques...
You have to have the tongue in the right position.
Oh, yeah. If someone is using this technique on you and you move your tongue at that moment, it's not going to work on you at all.
Good job that the students all knew how to have their tongues in the correct place, isn't it? I mean, as a student... Mm. If you went to a dojo or, you know, a class, and all right, for the first, like, maybe lesson or two, if you saw the master just, like, holding his hand up and people would diving out of the way, and you'd be like, yeah, that's quite impressive. Mm. Until the point where he goes, okay, you attack me.
I'm going to get into that.
And then surely you'd just be like, wallop. No, it didn't work on me, mate.
No, you're onto something there. I would say you're at a 30% get out of my head pirate on that one.
Okay.
We'll come to that. It's very, very interesting. It's all to do with like psychology and stuff. Like, honestly, it's weird.
Fair enough. So I'm guessing there's some kind of indoctrination technique that he uses on people to make sure that they're pliable. Otherwise, they're just not welcome in the class.
Kind of. You're kind of on the right lines.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, very loosely, you're on to the right lines there. Another reason Dillman says it didn't work was, again, just like the tongue, if they move their toes just before he uses his technique, that can throw off the balance of energy.
Obviously.
So it's all about the feng shui and the balance of energy. If someone's not completely dead still... this isn't going to work on him, which makes no sense considering people were walking towards him and they were flying everywhere.
Yeah.
So he turned out to be a hoax. I think I've got one more. Yeah, one more. So there is a guy called Harry Thomas Cameron. He was a student and a self-taught master of the poison hand technique that Count Dante used back in the 70s. Now, very similar to the National Geographic, Fox News sent a reporter because they'd been hearing about this guy who's got telekinetic powers. He can control no touch, poison hand, making people throw up and all sorts with these energy fields.
That'd be awesome. I want to interview them here on the podcast if they can genuinely do that stuff.
Oh, if they could. But... we'll be waiting a long time because there's not one single person that can do that. So this Fox News sent a small lady, to interview. And she says, please use this technique. Show me.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
Oh my God. It's the coolest thing ever. Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? Well, check this out. It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. Seriously. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
This guy tries a few things and it doesn't really work. And personally, from watching the video, I think the guy gets frustrated by this.
Right.
He claims it was like kind of an accident. He didn't mean to hit her that hard, but he ends up just hitting her in the face. And she's genuinely shocked. The cameramen are shocked. people are shocked. They don't really know what's happening. He's a bit red in the face. He's kind of like...
Not as red as she was.
No, no. And it's a good hit, like straight to the jaw. And you're like, wow, okay, this guy is... That's not cool, man. That's not cool. So when he was again interviewed afterwards, he says that it only works on 40% of people.
I thought you were going to say 40-year-old women then.
No, no, I mean... I mean, hitting him in the face would work on all percent of people, I think. yeah, he said it only his techniques and stuff only work on 40% of people. But I can confirm that his techniques, after studying it and having various students, worked on 0% of actual fighters and people that knew jiu-jitsu. So basically fighters and Brazilian jiu-jitsu people in it was either in the same gym or like a gym nearby. Obviously heard about this and they weren't
all went
happy
to challenge him.
So yeah, they went there and it worked on 0% of them, so the statistics don't really add up there. And I've already mentioned not a single reported case of a pressure point or no touch knockout has ever happened in an official fight or contest.
No.
So now this is where it gets juicy. This is hilarious. So in 2006, November 26th, to be precise, in a room full of 500 people, there was a grandmaster called Ryo Kin. He was a no-touch master. He was 65 years old. He put up $5,000 of his own money saying he could defeat any MMA or cage fighter.
This is the one I think I've right? seen on the TV, yeah.
Someone rose to the challenge. Yeah. Now, respectfully, I didn't even want to attempt to announce his name because it was so Asian and I didn't want to get it wrong. So whoever that guy is, respect
you. Didn't even write it down.
Honestly, it was so difficult to pronounce, to spell, to write. So I do apologize, but respect to that guy. He stood up to the challenge and 65-year-old no-touch grandmaster Ryo Kin was knocked down in two punches. Right?
I'm pretty sure I've seen I'm pretty sure I have.
He then gets up because he thinks that his no-touch pressure point stuff is going to work. He then gets up to carry on the fight. And three punches and two kicks later, he threw in the towel and was done. Yeah. He was gone. Knocked out. Face full of blood. Other students and people... You know, yeah, pretty much. In a room full of 500 people, may I say? So
you would say that, you know, the guy's got some cojones to do that in front of 500 of the guy's students. But if they all believe that no touch is going to work, they probably all 500 and they're going,
yeah, yeah.
Why isn't it working?
Yeah, but it's just so strange, isn't it? So now we're going to touch on what you said about the students. Like, why are they flying around and things? Now, this is, it's all mental. It's all psychology.
Yeah.
And this actually, I don't know if this will surprise you. It actually comes under the same umbrella as cults and faith healers.
Yeah.
So it's all to do with that real deep psychological thing of wanting to be included and want to be part of something. So, just the same as, like faith healers. You know, you must have seen the silly videos of people. There's one guy in particular where he's waving his jacket around at the front row of this audience and they're all falling over and fainting and stuff. And it's all because it's to do with the psychology of like you want to fit in. You don't want to be that.
Don't want to be standing out from the crowd. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's pretty much all there is to the students is also when you said about what was it? Indoctrination.
Indoctrination. Yeah.
Very similar to that. Some of these dojos will have like. Lots of meditation and things before they get into this, so it's almost like hypnotism in a way.
You
so it's relaxing.
In the right mindset. And, otherwise, just cast out. This isn't suitable for you. You go,
So it's just basically psychology, and that's all it comes down to. You probably do get the odd person that turns up that wants to learn real martial arts, and they turn around and leave because they're like, "What is this?" Now, one last kind of thing. Yeah, I will just mention my notes there are in the wrong order. So,
as usual.
This kind of thing is targeted for vulnerable people, mainly like women and children that want to know self-defense for real life situations. You know, like, because I think there is that kind of, expectation that a man should know how to fight and handle themselves.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, so this kind of fake martial arts was always targeted for children and women in case they encounter someone down a dark alley or whatever, you know.
Well, that, they're just going to point their finger at them. And...
That's the sad thing about it, is these people think that this will, and it doesn't help in real life situations.
Just don't go down dark alleys.
Yeah, yeah. So last guy, I think you would have heard of this guy, James Heidrick. So he was the guy that was turning pages and spinning pencils and things like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He went on, we've seen, like, magicians doing it, you know, when they turn the yellow pages and stuff like that, and rotating dollar bills, pencils. And he claimed to have telekinetic powers. This guy allegedly had over 3,000 students. He was massive in America. He was on talk shows, TV shows. He was everywhere, you know. He was very, very popular. In 1982, there was a show called Psychic Confession where the guy who ran the show, the interviewer guy, he was a part-time magician or retired magician.
Yeah.
He had worked out how this guy was doing it. And in the interview, you can see this video on YouTube or whatever. So they get this James Heidrick to show his techniques of, you know, turning the pages, spinning the pencils. And then this guy just starts doing it.
Tweaks the strings.
No, there's no strings of that. That's the crazy thing. So he just starts doing it. And you can see James Heidrick straight away is like, no, they've worked it out. Like, I'm going to get found out.
All right.
And the guy then just says, you know, this is a hoax. How you're doing it is you're controlling your airflow through your nostrils. So you have very strong airflow. Okay, yeah. So he's all light movements, but you can't see him doing it because his mouth is closed. Yeah, so he's all through the nose. So after that, his career completely spiraled. He then admitted to having abuse in his childhood. He was delusional. There was all these problems. And for him, he loved those kind of films and grew up watching Bruce Lee and all these films. And it was a form of escape from the abuse that he had suffered.
Yeah,
and then this guy is an absolute douchebag because he then went on to molest children and do horrible things. So this guy was not a nice person.
Fair enough.
So screw that guy.
Yeah.
He's a hoax, a fake, and a criminal.
Exposed.
Yeah, he was a criminal.
Not that way, but yeah.
No. Absolute a-hole. So screw that guy. Now, I'm going to take you down. We're dwindling down.
Right.
We're getting to the...
We've got to the nitty-gritty of it now.
The peak. The best story. Now, this one might tug at your heartstrings a little bit, you know. No, it's not that emotional. I just feel bad for the guy.
Okay, just before you do your closing story.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, like, a lot of martial arts, and I don't mean to belittle martial arts or martial artists or fighters, but a lot of it is made to be very showy, isn't it?
Ah.
You've seen those videos that, like, on YouTube or wherever, where they've got like 3-year-olds breaking through blocks of wood, and then the guy will hold up a block of wood for the next 3-year-old, and the 3-year-old raises his leg, and the pressure of the bloke holding it snaps it in half, and everyone laughs, and they just grab another quick block of wood, and then the kid breaks it. It's very showy like that, isn't it?
But you're also talking about two different, very different things.
Oh, I know, right? I know. But...
The stuff that you're talking about, yes, it's very showy, but it's also... Again, going back to the psychology and stuff, it's to gain the confidence of these little kids and stuff. So it is like it's meant to be like that. But to save you, to stop people that are into martial arts attacking you, yes, some of it is. And I will give examples of some of the ones that are fake and showy and everything. but some of them will mess you up.
Oh, like, I know. Oh, yeah.
Judo.
Yeah. I'm not saying that.
Jiu-jitsu, MMA, you know.
Yeah,
Muay Thai.
Very, very competent fighting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Some of them, like, especially the ones that use like more submission grappling and things like that.
Yeah,
that is legit.
Proper judo and that sort of thing. The holds and the grapples and bending your joints the wrong way.
Yeah.
Ooh, horrible stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But I do know what you mean. Yeah. Funnily enough, my notes after this story, yeah, I'll give you some of the examples of the stuff that you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to see if you think this name is bad, imagine what the other name is that I didn't mention, right?
I can see it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the story of Zhu Zedong. Zedong.
Yeah.
It's a bunch, for those who can't see the notes, it's a bunch of X's and dongs.
And dongs, yeah.
Yeah. It's a bunch of X's with a dong at the end. So, story of my life. So, just a bunch of X's and a lonely dong at the end.
Your taekwondo teacher was definitely a dong.
Yeah, he was, yeah. After the show, I'm actually going to tell you what his real last name was, and you're going to say, that's worse than Dong. And people will know, if you know me, they will know and agree. So, Zhu Zedong, I might just call him Dong to make it easier.
Yeah, go for it.
Zhu Dong was a Beijing-born radio DJ and a trained MMA fighter.
Right.
In 2017... there was they called it the Great Rejuvenation of the Chinese Nation.
Right.
Basically, patriotism. And the Chinese government made it mandatory to teach martial arts in schools, mainly Tai Chi and Kung Fu, which is, there's some technique there, but there is more going into what you're talking about of the more showmanship of it, if you know what I mean. It's not...
Well, Tai Chi is more about meditation, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
The movements.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And your breathing techniques
same
and stuff
as
like that.
Qi Gong, is it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they're making that mandatory. Now, this guy, he kind of had a problem with it. He's just a... Well, he didn't really necessarily pick the fight. He was a radio DJ and a mixed martial artist. So
yeah.
He's combining all of the different, you know, hence the name mixed martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually learning techniques because he's a big fan of the UFC, cage fighting, mixed martial arts. So he's actually trained in all of these different things. So he went on his radio DJ show or his radio show, and he was just basically saying, like, no, MMA, if you're going to do it, learn MMA because you learn bits of everything that will actually help you.
I've heard MMA is the one that you want to go for if you really just want to learn how to hurt people.
Yeah. And good for self-defense. Yeah. You know? Like, you can take someone down by using a submission or a grapple, and you're not necessarily having to break bones, but you're in a position where you can break a bone if you really need to, you know? So he was just kind of making fun of it on his radio show, just saying, like, why are we teaching kids this kind of thing? They want to be learning MMA and stuff. So somehow his details got hacked and leaked, his address and everything like that. So he...
Can happen.
His, yeah, his details were out there.
Don't have a VPN on you.
He was in a bad way, you know. He started getting attacked and... his family were in jeopardy, things like that, because people were really not happy with him. So there was also...
Yeah, it doesn't matter how well you know MMA, if a billion Chinese people have fallen out with you, you're in trouble.
Yeah, yeah. So there was also a little side story that does tie in. There was a grandmaster called Wei Lei.
Right.
And again, just like, you know, history repeats itself, he claims he could defeat any MMA fighter, including breaking a rear naked choke with one hand. Now, at the same time as making this claim, this is when Zhu Dong was saying this stuff on his radio. And Grandmaster Waylo was the one person that he was taking the mickey out of on his radio show.
Oh, dear.
So right. Then, again, you had all of Waylo's students and stuff hacking him, finding out more information.
Yeah.
And he was very hated amongst that community.
Yeah, they weren't getting waylaid.
No, they were not. So with that, Zhu Tong was obviously like, no, I'm, you know, getting attacked left, right and centre. I could lose my livelihood here. I'm going to prove myself. So with Grandmaster Waylay's invitation to defeat any MMA fighter, Zhu Tong stood up to the challenge and said, no, I'm going to prove to you that this is a load of rubbish. So he went to the dojo, stood up to Waylay, and the fight lasted 20 seconds.
Right.
Zhu Tong...
Who won?
Murdered this guy.
Oh.
He destroyed him.
Right.
Like 20 seconds. This made headlines and media in China to the point where tabloids called it the fight that shook the heavens. Right?
Oh, this not is just how, the world.
Oh, no. This is
the heavens.
This is how big this thing snowballed. Right. The media then started writing stories about Zhu Tong, saying that he was attacking China's national heritage.
Ooh.
And then started receiving challenges from other grandmasters of like no touch and other martial arts, saying like, no, I can defeat this MMA fighter.
How many of them did he knock out?
Oh, it's still going on.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because Zhu Tong was so outspoken on kung fu and traditional Chinese martial arts, he then went on a rampage fighting every grandmaster and kung fu and tai chi kind of self-proclaimed no-touch, pressure point, rubbish grandmaster that he could. So he's fighting, he's going
and
through
it. Still doing it today.
But that's not all, my friend.
Right.
Right. It got to the point where the Chinese government stepped in because they didn't like how this guy was allegedly destroying Chinese martial arts and heritage and all of that stuff that comes with it. So now, this is the sad part. This is the bit where I feel sorry for Zhu Tong.
Oh.
This is bang out of order. So now, what they've done is they legally have made him, every time he steps into the ring and have a fight, made him wear traditional Chinese clown makeup, right?
Really?
Yeah. So it's, for those who want to know what it looks, it's basically...
So now, hold on, because that's kind of backfired a little bit, hasn't it? You'd imagine. If this guy is literally going around knocking out grandmasters left, right and centre, and they've gone, no, we can't have this. We're going to make him dress up as a clown. So now a clown is going around knocking out grandmasters left, right and centre.
That's exactly it. Yep.
That's going out of the frying pan into the fire.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So they've done it to humiliate him.
Well, they've humiliated themselves.
Yeah, he's not given up. He's like, no. So the face paint is traditionally blue and white. So it's a lot of blue with like maybe the odd white stripe going through his face.
Kind
of thing. Personally, kind of cool. It doesn't look like a clown. If it was the traditional like Joker style, red lips, red nose, that would be different. But the Chinese like traditional clown look is kind of Braveheart-ish. It's warrior.
Kind of war paint-y.
Yeah, it's very Viking. I'm like, I mean, you've kind of made him look cooler. Like, so they then made him fight under the name Shu Dong Hua. Would you like to know what that translates to in English?
Yes.
Shu Wintermelon.
Shu Wintermelon.
Yeah. And right. That is to insult his weight, because he is a 41-year-old, slightly pudgy, but in shape MMA fighter.
Right.
So they then try
so he's
to
stocky.
Very stocky, like rugby player kind of build.
Right. Okay.
So they then tried to insult and embarrass him again by giving him that name.
I guess because Asians do pride themselves on their slim physiques, don't they? So
yeah. So according to
the athletic ones do anyway.
According to them, he is fat, but he's not really fat at all, to be honest. But yeah, he had the name Shu Wintermelon. They then lowered his social credit score to the point where he is not allowed to fly on any airplanes, he's not allowed to use any high-speed trains, and for one of his fights, so they announced this and gave this punishment to him before a fight. That meant that he had to take a 36-hour train ride before his fight. So they're just trying to tear him down.
Normally be like 4 hours on a plane. He's not allowed to. So he's got to drive 700 miles to wherever. Yeah.
So they've just continuously tried to beat him down to the point where the Chinese government have said they don't want him proving the Chinese traditional methods don't work. So they've now gone on to the point where it's harassment, censorship, he's not allowed any social media whatsoever, humiliation. They closed his gym, which is very sad because that was over 20 years. They closed his gym. They made him publicly apologize. They fined him tens of thousands of dollars. He lost his house. His fights have been shut down by police. He's been accused of being a spy for other countries. His family have been attacked. And then to top it all off, the last one was he was disowned by the gym that he taught at for 20 years. So all of those students, that legacy that he built up, actually teaching people martial arts, completely gone. All because he does not agree with the fact that they're making it mandatory to teach this, you know, kind of showmanship, and it's not going to help people. And that's the point that he's trying to make.
Is that it won't not actually save your life. It won't
protect you. Yeah, it's not going to help. So to the point, mate, this is absolutely not. And this was all in the space of like a year, by the way.
Oh, right. Okay.
Now, in 2018, he is still not giving up. He's like, no, I'm going to prove my point here. Like, I'm just going to go on a rampage and show you that MMA is the way to go for self-defense. So in 2018, he got called out by another grandmaster. Yeah. This guy was kind of endorsed by like the Chinese government. He was like really famous. He was on TV, in shows. He was, you know, big celebrity. And Zhu Dong said, this is the biggest fight of my career. If I can destroy this guy, then this will prove to
everyone. No one can contest that MMA is the king.
Like, he was like, you know how like David Blaine is considered like the best magician or one of the best magicians of all time? Yeah. That was this guy in modern times for this style of fake martial arts, or Tai Chi or whatever he was calling it. He absolutely destroyed him in three rounds. So
it took him three rounds.
This is the thing, right? The guy that said that he was into no touch and this, that, and the other, they did actually fight a little bit. So was, but also the fight kept getting stopped and start.
Right.
There was a lot of hokiness to it. It wasn't as simple as, you know, when there was a flurry of punches and Zhu Dong was able to get three or four good punches straight to the face, the referee would then
stop, illegal move, illegal
move. It was completely fixed. So after three rounds of this guy getting pummeled by Zhu Dong, right? Now tell me this isn't a fix by the Chinese government, allegedly, and by the people that put on the fight and media and everyone out to get this guy.
Yeah.
They declared the fight a draw.
Right.
After this guy didn't get a single punch on Zhu Dong.
And after Zhu Dong broke his nose.
broke his face and wiped the floor with him. It was still considered a draw. And the referee held up both hands. Now, if that isn't the master of fixing fights, give me another example, because that is crazy. So the good news is, Zhu Dong still remains undefeated after 17 fights.
Good.
That was 4 years ago. So that number of 17 fights is probably more now. We're probably talking 20, 30 fights, possibly 40. But he is still undefeated, and he continues his journey wearing the face paint with honor, destroying these grandmasters and these fighters to prove a point.
Let him get beaten up by a clown.
Yeah, and I will end this episode by saying that MMA does teach self-defense, good values, meditation, breathing techniques, but don't get fooled by the fakes out there. If you start seeing people flying around the gym and trying to convince you of telekinetic powers, get out of that gym and go train in MMA, judo, jiu-jitsu, something that is actually going to work.
Yes.
And that is the story of fake martial arts.
Well done. Well done.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to give fake martial arts a 0.1
yes.
out of 10.
Do you know that's also one of the reasons why I wanted to cover fake martial arts? Is because all of our podcasts, well, a lot of them have been like 8 point something,
nine point something.
So yeah, I'm with you on that. Yeah.
I think MMA and genuine martial arts could get anywhere between a 7 and a 9.
Yeah.
But the fake ones, I've seen enough of them on TV. And yeah, like you say, people just waving their hand and students flying all over the place onto the ground, holding their heads, going, "Oh, you really me up." It's just, it's all a load of hooey, isn't it?
Do you want my final thoughts on it?
Go on.
And then I'll give you my score. So I just want to point out that if they stuck to the movies and the theatrical side of things and made it a show, like the Bruce Lee films, all of that, I'd give it a higher score because I do find them entertaining. I was raised on those things. But after the Chinese government and what they did to Zhudong and making it mandatory and all of that stuff, they did him dirty. And I don't agree with that. So the action, and going back to the American guys that have tried to, you know, well, they have successfully screwed a lot of people out of money from doing this kind of rubbish. I'm also not going to give it a high score. I'm just going to give it a flat 0.
Not fair enough.
Yeah. But if they stuck to that original idea in the 70s of just having it as, you know, kind of movies, Hollywood kind of thing.
Well, that's the only reason why I'm giving it that 0.1. Because they've given it that little bit of flair.
Yeah.
And they've hooked in a lot of people into believing their BS.
Yeah.
So.
Well, there you go. That is fake martial arts.
Sorry. Excellent stuff. Well done, Josh.
It's interesting.
It was interesting. It was interesting. Very unexpected for me.
I thought I'd surprise you with that one.
Did not know you was going to come back to work and present that one to me.
I know a lot of people, we get it quite often in comments and things, and people say, like, well, what's paranormal about that? We've said time and time again, if it's weird or interesting or just unusual or a little bit out there, I'm happy to cover it. Yeah, a bit mysterious. I'm happy to cover it. And I think fake martial arts just fits onto that scale for us where it is all of those things.
Yeah.
It's just weird. It's wonderful. It's unusual.
That's what we like. If you just want ghosts, go elsewhere.
Yeah.
Fair enough. But, you know, we love our mysteries. We love everything a little bit weird and wonderful. Yeah. So.
And if you want visual aid for everything that I've spoke about, again, I will just shout out Super Eye Patch Wolf on YouTube. It's definitely worth watching some of the video, especially the first 30 seconds, which is just a montage of people flying around a gym. And you'll see exactly what we're talking about today. But that is the kind of martial arts I'm talking about. That is the fake stuff.
Brilliant.
There you go.
And with that, well, wow, we're running over time. So I've been Pirate.
I'm Josh.
This has been Paranormality UK. Till next week, ta-ta.
Ta-ta!
Hey, guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
This is a PSA, or public sock announcement. Experts have declared Bombas socks as the best way to warm up chilly feet. These pairs are super cushy, soft, and designed for maximum coziness. Plus, for every pair purchased, another pair will be donated, so someone in need of essential clothing can stay warm this winter. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST at checkout.
What makes a great pair of glasses? At Warby Parker, it's all the invisible extras without the extra cost. Their designer quality frames start at $95, including prescription lenses. plus scratch-resistant, smudge-resistant, and anti-reflective coatings, and UV protection, and free adjustments for life. To find your next pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to find the Warby Parker store nearest you, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.